Matthew chapter 5. We actually took a quick hiatus to do the three-part sermon series called Jesus and Relationship. And now we're going to be back on this Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, called the Beatitudes. And let me, this is God's word. Let me read it for us, and then we'll pray and we'll begin. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who are before you." This is a word of God. Let me pray for us. If you join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we have read your infallible, inerrant, your very breath, the very vocal cords of the Holy Spirit. We have read your truth, the only truth about you and this world, our universe. I pray that now you would speak to us in and through your word, to our minds and our hearts. I pray, do that miracle now. Pray all this, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is Jesus' first sermon. When he started his ministry, this is what he said first. You could say these are the basic things that he is trying to say about his kingdom. These are the most important things, not about his kingdom, but the people that he wants to populate his kingdom with. These are the characteristics of his kingdom and of his people. And we already looked at two. I don't know if you remember. We looked at two already, verse 3 and 4. And let me review it really quickly before we move on to the third characteristic, which is today's sermon, "Blessed are the meek." And Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We said poor means zero, poitoikos, nothing, empty, and spirit is the self, it's you and me. So blessed, people who are happy, Jesus says, are people who are zero of self. None of self. Those are the blessed who are empty of the self. Those are the happy people. But of course, it was true in Jesus' day. It was so countercultural, the stuff that he was saying. You read in Matthew chapter 7 at the end when he finished his sermon, about 30, 35 minutes, it shocked them. Because it was so contrary to what they heard from the religious elites and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And if you truly understand what Jesus is saying here, it would be countercultural and shocking even to us now in this time, the 21st century. Because what does the world say? Happy people are what? Not empty of self. What do they say? College students? Who are pro-self. No, this world does not say happy and blessed are people who are empty of self. No, they don't say that. You got to be for self, full of self. Believe in yourself. Show off yourself. You got to distinguish yourself from other people so you will stand out. You will be praised. You will be a somebody. Right? You don't want to be a nobody. Right? Nobody is a loser. That's what the world says. And you see why. Remember, Jesus is building a kingdom. His kingdom, spiritual kingdom. You see why Jesus can't use someone who's full of self? Right? I mean, if you are full of yourself, all about yourself, he can't use someone like that. You'll get in the way. You'll keep challenging Jesus. No, Jesus, you shouldn't do it that way. No, this works in the 21st century. No, the blessed people are not full of self. They're full of God. They're full of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the job of the Holy Spirit does? One of the jobs of that you are full of the Spirit of God, is the Spirit magnifies Christ. The Spirit makes much of not the self. The Spirit makes much of Christ. He lifts up Christ. So you know you're full of the Spirit when you open your mouth, you're not about yourself. You're not saying how smart you are, no matter how subtle that is. How outgoing you are. How awesome you are. That's not the Spirit. The Spirit puts his attention to the Son. Glorifies the Son, praises the Son, Jesus. That's his job. Those are the people who are full of the Spirit, not full of themselves. They listen to God. Those who are not full of self, if they're poor in spirit, they're the blessed. They follow God in every way, every step. As Tammy prayed, they walk. People who are poor in spirit, who are blessed, they walk with God. They walk with God. Not just on Sunday, right? You've heard this. They walk with God every day, every step. They're in the light. They're in fellowship with God and with Christ. And the second, I'll move on. Blessed are those who mourn, those who are happy, who are mourning. Not about natural mourning, but they are mourning and grieved over their sin. They weep over their sin. Remember the example I gave, the tax collector? Remember the Pharisee was like all proud. I fast twice a day. Was it three times a day? I forget now. Right? I pay tithe. I serve. I do all these things. I'm thankful. And the tax collector, what did he do? He couldn't even look up to heaven. He bent down. I could picture him kneeling on his knees, tears running down. And he said, he was beating his breast and saying, what did he say? Forgive me, a sinner. Blessed are those who mourn, who are deeply grieved over his or her sin. All right, so that was a review. That took about like 5-10 minutes. Today, we want to look at a third quality of the kingdom, the people in the kingdom. Blessed are the meek. Before I give you an example, three examples of what meekness is, let me tell you what meekness is not. So it's not what it is. And I give you one more verse. It's a scary verse that would discourage you and encourage you to be meek. Those are the blessed. Blessed are the meek, you're not born with these qualities. Not important spirit, you're not born with these. These aren't natural characteristics. Meek does not mean that you're nice. A certain cat or dog can be nicer than the other cats and dogs. Does not mean one is more meek than the other. Or, a lot of people relate meekness to the spirit of compromise or peace at any price. They hate any kind of confrontation, so they compromise or just give in. Being meek does not mean weak or spirit of quietness. I think most of you guys think meekness to be someone who doesn't talk a lot, right? Someone who's verbose. You don't say, oh man, that person is meek. No, you don't attribute meekness to talking a lot. Okay. You usually attribute meekness to someone who is quiet and they don't say very much. Maybe like a monk. Okay. But meekness is actually compatible with great strength. These people who are meek have been great defenders of the truth in the past. Meek are the ones who so believe in standing for the truth that he or she would die for it if necessary. Good night. Isn't it these times now, the 21st century, in this world, this country, we need people, especially Christians, to stand for the truth. Not just our church. Okay? In your workplaces, that you will stand for is truth here. I mean, God forbid if one of your coworkers asks you, hey, Jonathan, you know, what do you think about the Bible? Do you believe everything in the Bible? Do you believe in the Bible is against homosexuality? Whatever your coworker said that is a sin. No, we need people. As hard as that might be, if your coworker or someone asked you something in the Bible about anything, not just that, but I just bring that up because that's very controversial. No one says things like that. Because you might lose your job. You might not have a lot of friends, high school or college. You know, I did a little bit of youth ministry, and a lot of the kids who I did a little bit with in Ithaca, I don't know if you know, Ithaca is fairly, in New York, that area is fairly, maybe more liberal than I would like. And the college students who are 9th and 10th, 12th grade, they're deathly scared that their friends will ask them about any questions, about anything in the Bible. Because if they say something that's true in the Bible, what are they afraid of? They'll have no friends. They'll be shunned, isolated. They have told me that. That is not meekness. That is not great strength. That is not. The most meek person in the Bible is found in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Or 1 through 3. Let me read it for you. It talks about Moses being, it says, an amazing passage. It says in verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. what a resume. He wasn't just meek. He was meek, the most meek. Of all the people. That's a pretty big statement about someone, a person. Now, why? Why was Moses the most meek person on the face of the earth? Let me read just the first three verses to give you some context, and then see what see if you see what I see here. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Now, remember what was happened, okay? Miriam helped Moses get the people of God from Egypt in slavery for over 400 years. They took them out. It was a team effort. Moses was the leader, though. It says in other places, other prophets, Aaron was a prophet, other prophets, I spoke to them in dreams and visions, but with my servant Moses, I speak to him face to face. So Moses was the leader, and Aaron and Miriam, apparently they're helping Moses, or they're helpers, important helpers at that. And at this point, Miriam and Aaron did not like that arrangement. And look what he said. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoke only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? You see what's going on here? Why is Moses getting all the glory? He married a Cushite woman. Not an Israelite. A Gentile. Why is Moses up in the front getting all the glory, all the praise? I should get some. We need to get some. We didn't marry a Gentile. Outside, we're important. So guess what's happening here? There's an uprising. There's a coup coming. And after that has happened, God said Moses was the most meek person. All the earth. What would you do? Okay? You were I don't know, if you're in a hospital, some of you guys are in health, right? You are the boss of this little committee, okay? You're the doctor of this little group, nurses and other nurse practitioners, whatever, okay? You're in charge, you're the supervisor. And those little people, I'm just kidding, you know what I mean? They challenge you. It's an uprising. Why are you getting all the glory? Why are you getting paid that much? I mean, what would you do? I earned it. Did you go to medical school? Do you have the skills? What do you know? I get the glory because I deserve it. I earned it. I mean, Moses could have said that. It would have been true. Would have been true, right? God did chose not Miriam, not Aaron, Moses, the stuttering Moses, the incapable Moses to lead. So Moses could at that, and he'd be in the right to do it, to be defensive, to defend himself. Who are you guys? Did you talk to God face to face like me? I talked to you in visions and dreams. I saw him face to face, idiots. Come on. No, Moses didn't do that. He didn't get defensive about the false accusation. He didn't even open his mouth. He didn't say a word. Moses was so wise that he waited for God to intervene instead of defending
himself. That's why he was so meek. Because he, Moses himself, understood why he was doing the spectacular miracles. I mean, who was responsible for this? Was he splitting the Red Sea? No! God was. The Creator God, who speaks and things exist out of nothing. Moses knew who was truly responsible for all these miracles that God was doing through him. He understood that. He knew he was nothing. He was only something because of God. What a humble man. Guys, if you believe in the Bible, every one of you guys, whether in college and up, you are here breathing and having all the resources in your disposal, and whatever successes you have in this world is not because of you, because you worked hard. All things is to him, through him, by him, all things. So don't think when someone challenges you, like Miriam and Aaron did, that it was all because of you. I'd be defensive about that. No, it was not because of you. God sustained you. God gave you the brain. God gave me a B brain. It's okay. And God gave you the A brain. All right, it's okay. But God gave it to you. Okay? God has given you everything that you have and will have. It's all from him. And when someone falsely accuses you, you don't have to be defensive. That's who's unique. Even though you have every right to do it. I love this verse. Paul, I'm going to jump in Paul. He said in Romans chapter 12, sorry, I'm finding my manuscript. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says this. Verse 18, 19. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So we got a great example, the most meekest person in the world, Moses. And here's me, before I came here in Ithaca, I don't know, several months ago. In the summer, Noah is really fascinated with this slushy at McDonald's. Okay. Do I have time to even talk about this? I know we have communion, okay? And McDonald's got, you know, went crazy, at least the one in Ithaca, New York. They renovated the whole thing, and inside they had this push thing, you know, like, right? Touch screen, and I'm like, and I made a wrong order, and like, I can't, I just went to the cashier face-to-face. But they also made these two, like, what do you call that? Two drive-thrus, okay? And how it's set up is you have two drive-thrus, like, you know, like that, and then there's a line there, and car stops, a bunch of cars, and I was, like, right on the next person to be on the drive-thru, okay? And there's two cars already here. So I stopped, okay? And there were cars right behind me. And this time, I felt like I was in a rush. I don't know. Okay? I feel like I was waiting for eternity, okay? Like, McDonald's, come on! I could have gone fast food and I went inside and ordered, okay? I don't know. I probably waited like 5 minutes. I'm already sinning. I'm already impatient, okay? Trying to get the slushy, blue slushy for Noah, okay? Because, yeah, we just kind of rewarded him because he was like standing still during worship, okay? Not running around. So we rewarded him, okay? You could talk to me afterwards if that's good or not, buddy, okay? Anyway, good parenting or bad parenting, you know? But, as I was waiting, I was getting impatient, and this truck went past these cars. I was next in line. He went past and then parked right in front of the next car. And as that one driveway, went, he cut in front of me. I'm like,
what would you have done? I was angry. What just happened here? I was furious. Injustice. Now I gotta wait here another 5 minutes to get this guy, you know, out of there. If I could go up there, I'm like. And I was looking in the back. Is anyone complaining here? And so instead of, I'm already sinning. I'm like just furious. And I rolled down my window. I went even further. Hey! Shaking my fist. You cut! I'm next! And of course, girlfriend, boyfriend, I don't know, maybe a husband, I don't know. The girl rolls down her window, and she goes, F you! Middle finger! I'm like, are you serious? Are you kidding me? So I got furious. I tried to threaten. I just got off the car, you know? Opened the window, I'm like, and all this stuff went through my mind. That's an example of not being meek. I was being defensive. On my rights. I wanted revenge just to say something hurtful, right? Get out of here. What are you doing? But I got the middle finger. And afterwards, of course, Noah's like, Daddy! I was so ashamed. I'm supposed to be the pastor here. You know? I'm supposed to be the daddy who knows everything. We shouldn't be out of control that way. I was so ashamed. I told Noah, sorry. Sorry, buddy. More than I was mad at the other person, at that point, I was just mad at myself. What a horrible example. It's not, nothing neat there. I'm trying to keep it defensive. I need help. You need help. I can't self-improve, guys. I need help from God to change me. Because I can't change myself. I need Christ's resources and grace to come and change from this proud, arrogant person, okay, to a meek person. And of course, another great example of someone who was really meek, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. It says this, this is a prophecy that prophet Isaiah did about our Savior 500 years later, before he came. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet, he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Let us worship. He didn't deserve that, right? He was a sinless Savior, sinless Son. Yet he was led to the slaughter for your and my sins. Is there any pride left after that? You should be full of meekness. He then opened his mouth, and Jesus, he had every right. He was dying a sinner's death. He could told his father, Father, I don't deserve this. I shouldn't be punished like this. It'd be okay for him to request that. And yet he didn't open his mouth. He was led to the slaughter, and he trusted. What? Who did he trust? His father. What should I have done? I know it's a silly story, but I should have not reacted. Whose vengeance is that? Not mine. God, if that was injustice, God would do something about that. Maybe not at that time, but later on. To be defensive and take matters into my own hands. That is not meek. Jesus not only trusted his father to his fate, he submitted this awful death that he didn't deserve. And he obeyed. He submitted and he obeyed. I should not say one bad thing to that person. None. I don't have the right or the amount of wrath that the person should get. Whatever that is. Only God has wisdom and knowledge to bring judgment upon anyone. I might do more or less. That's not my right. And Jesus was so meek, he trusted, obeyed, and submitted to what his father told him. That's why he was blessed by God. That is true meekness. And God rewarded him, of course, right? This embarrassing death. And God blessed him with resurrection from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. Amazing. I'm running out of time, 11 already, 30 minutes. Let me give you one scary verse to help you deter you, okay? Deter me from doing the opposite of meekness, which is pride. And this is what James says in James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, God, not a generic God, our God, the creator of heaven and earth, he has power unbelievable. The king of all kings. And he says this, that God opposes against the proud. You don't want that, Life Creek. Do you want that? I do not want that. I don't want all heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, to oppose me, to go against me. Do you want that? Be careful. God will crush the proud, whether now or later. He will. He will break you if you're his children. He will. He will break. He will get your attention. Don't do that. Don't ignore what God says in his word. Submit to him. Trust him. Everything that he says here is really worth it, guys. It's for your good, eternal, maximum happiness. Trust him. Every single word. That's meek. And a lot of you guys think if you trust the Bible and do what God, you'll be poor and be nobody. And that is not true. You might be a nobody in this world, but you'll be somebody in the kingdom. In the kingdom. Being nobody here is worth it. It's worth it. If you trust what he says here, trust him, Life Creek. May God help you and me. Blessed are the meek, happy are the meek, who submit to his word, obey what he says with joy. You know, guys, I don't want you to go outside. Oh, Bible, Pastor Tim told me to do everything he said. Oh, I don't want to do it. God's not happy with that. He's not happy with begrudging doing. Are you happy with that? No. Your employers are not happy with begrudging doing. I hate this job. You know? Oh, what an employee. No. And not God either. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to what? The humble and the meek. I want that. You should want that. Let's pray for our church to be full of meekness. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are so good only if we trust you. Every word, I know it's hard. It's not easy, especially in the kind of a world and condition and situation we currently even live. It's hard to be meek. To be meek would be astounding, standing out in our workplaces, in this world on campus. People will be shocked to find and see meekness in people. Poor in spirit in people. Those who mourn and celebrate that. Oh Lord, Jesus, you have told us these are the happy people, the blessed people. And that's what I pray. All of us here from top to bottom, bottom up, make us a people who are meek, humble. I pray. Make that miracle happen. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen.